Our next presenter is Jenny Kobernick from Auburn University, and she will be presenting on two options for limiting yield losses due to reniform nematode introgressed resistance in the application of vellum total.
Does this start over? Okay. All right. Thank you. I am actually new to this session. I'm a cotton breeder at Auburn doing projects with disease resistance. I'm working with fusarium, target spot, and reniform nematodes. This reniform nematode project is something left over from my predecessor, David Weaver, but it's really the brainchild of Roelof Sickens. Mr. Sickens is no longer at Auburn, so I'm presenting his research today. So to get started, we wanted to look at, we have reniform problems in Alabama, primarily around the top area of the state, but also down in the south. As most of you know, it causes limited root growth, can cause stunting, and yield losses. So I think Kathy Lawrence's poster in there says that for Alabama, it was around 246,000 bales this year. So management options, crop rotation, nematicides, and we've been looking for genetic resistance. So since around 2007, a joint effort between Cotton Incorporated, USDA, and some of the public breeding programs has looked and screened germplasm to try to find some resistance. Supposedly, or some moderate resistance has been found in the Lonrin, the Barbarin, the M713 and MT2468, and as you can see, those are a range of different cotton species. So from 2013 to 2015 up at the Tennessee Valley, is our research station in Belmina, Alabama, up towards the north of the state, and it has heavy reniform nematode pressure. So we tested these four different backgrounds and identified the GB713, which is a wild accession of the Barbadense, to have the most promising result. So if you look at yield losses, it only lost 16%. So at that time, a decision was made to do some crossing. So this moderate resistant line released by Jack McCarty's program over at USDA Mississippi was crossed with a high-yielding conventional line out of Fred Borland's program at University of Arkansas. So in 2016, 53 F4s were tested, and six were identified to be put forward into a study in 2017. So we were really interested in, we knew that these lines showed promise, but we were also curious if we paired it with the current management program, if we would see additional response. So the objective was to investigate the use of these lines with the current nematicide vellum total. So we planted black seed in a reniform and non-reniform field. This picture shows the close proximity of the fields. We had six breeding lines from the population 194. We had the two parents, the M713 and UA103, and two commercial checks. I actually said, hey, let's include some commercial checks with traits and just see how we are on the yield, and see if we're in it, you know, within the ballpark. So we took, we used the nematicide vellum total, applied in furrow in strips down the field, and at the recommended rate. So we took soil samples, we did egg counts, and we also did the grams per fresh weight. So here's just a picture of the trial. As you can see, this two-row plot had was the non-vellum, and this one was the vellum in the reniform field. So, for our results, I started by comparing the non-nematode and nematode field together, and of course you would expect to see significant differences for genotype and for vellum, but there was not a genotype by vellum interaction on either field. So, looking at the vellum, we had significant differences for the use of the vellum. It improved the yield in both the non-nematode and nematode field. I believe these results are very similar to something that Kathy Lawrence saw. However, hers was not significant in her trial. And as far as the genotypes go, on the non-nematode field, we had three lines that performed as well as the checks in the non-nematode field. And in the nematode field, we actually had four lines that yielded higher than the two commercial checks, which I guess is somewhat expected, as they do have some known moderate resistance to the nematode. So here's a graph showing the yield values for with vellum, without vellum. And so your commercial checks are down here, the blues. The dark gray is the UA103 parent, which is high yielding. The light colored is the M713 moderately resistant parent. And then all of our lines are right up in here. So they performed well without vellum. They performed well with vellum. And these three particular lines will probably go to SPS next year in these fields and see if we can find further improvements. So eggs per gram of fresh weight, there was not a significant difference between the vellum and the non-vellum on the infested field. Though, of course, the trend is that the non-vellum has higher counts per root. Here it is per genotype. It was not significantly different, but you can see the no vellums were higher than the vellums. I went really quick. So in conclusion, basically our vellum improved the overall mean yields in each field. Cultivars did not react differently to the vellum, and we didn't really see an additive effect. So one cultivar didn't react differently to the other one. And we've got four lines that show large promise in the reniform infested fields. So we will repeat this experiment. And the breeding lines, the M713 has molecular markers. We'll be screening these lines for those markers this coming year. And I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated, the Alabama Agriculture Experiment Station, and Auburn, as well as the staff on our location at Belmina. And I'd like to thank Roloff as well for his hard work. So I made that really quick. Is there any questions? Yes, ma'am. You're asking why we looked at the non-nematode versus the nematode?
Well, initially when you decided what you may process with, it looks like you're putting an emphasis on having a non-infested and an infested to look for something. Is that correct?
Yes, we did. We did measure plant height and correlated that with yield. So, this has been really Roloff's project. Lawn Run has shown some hypersensitivity. And the M713 is showing a lot more promise. We started out with it's part of a larger study. We started out making crosses with Lonrin and Barbarin and all these lines. And then one particular cross showed a lot of promise, and so we took that further, and that's where we're at the moment. are so good. It's just it needs some work. It's not, we don't have a finished product yet, but I feel like we're on the right path, and in a few years, hopefully we can get there. All right. Thank you all for your time.